Good afternoon.
This is the Thursday, October 8th, 2020 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Good afternoon, Keelan. Could you please call the roll?
Good afternoon, Mayor. Hugh Daly?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Ryan?
Here.
Hardesty?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by video or teleconference, and the city has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. This meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to the council clerk by emailing cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. These steps are being taken to protect the public health and well-being during the COVID pandemic, to promote physical distancing and protect everybody's health. We thank everybody for their patience and understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the city's business. And Tristan, that is the best photograph I've seen on a Zoom call today. That's terrific, and I'm just sorry you couldn't get the pig on top of the goat. Oh yeah, now we're gonna hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Sorry, my attention wandered.
Thank you, Mayor, good afternoon. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the city council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of this electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. So we have one item on the agenda this afternoon, item number 806.
Adopt the Northwestern Motion Plan and its recommendations.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you, Mayor. The Northwest in Motion Plan is an achievable near-term implementation strategy to make walking, bicycling, and riding transit safer and more attractive options in and around the fast-growing Northwest District Town Center. The plan synthesizes recommendations from past planning efforts like PED PDX, the Bicycle Plan for 2030, the Neighborhood Greenway Assessment Report, and the Rose Lane Project Report, while customizing and refining the solutions for the Northwest Portland context. The plan will result in a neighborhood greenway network that will provide close access by bike to all destinations in the district, a walking network with enhanced crossings and lighting at major streets, and transit access and reliability improvements to ensure transit is an attractive choice for residents and employees. This will reduce pressure on the limited roadway space and parking supply by reducing demand for single occupant vehicle travel to and from the area. Beyond recommending projects, the plan offers program and policy recommendations to address community identified needs, such as district-wide traffic calming, improving safety at signalized intersections, enhancing bus stops, and creating accessible public spaces in the right-of-way. Here to present on this project, I see Chris Warner, but I think it's PBOT's Zeph Wagner.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner. I'm actually going to be introducing Zeph.
Great. All right.
So, great. Thank you so much, Commissioner, Mayor Wheeler, members of the Portland City Council. I'm Chris Warner. I'm Director of the Portland Bureau of Transportation. I'm happy here to give a few brief introductions to PBOT's latest effort to make Portland's transportation system safer, more efficient, and sustainable, and we call it the Northwest in Motion Plan. In a moment, staff will take a deeper dive into the multiple projects in this plan and the benefits that it will bring to the residents and workers in Northwest Portland and to Portlanders generally. I'd like just to take a couple of minutes to highlight what I think are the most significant aspects of the plan. First, this plan focuses on projects that will make it safer and more convenient to walk, bike, and take transit to and through Northwest Portland, as the commissioner said. And the reason for this focus is simple but significant. If we can make it easier for pedestrians, people on bikes, and transit users to get from place to place, we take the pressure off the already very busy streets and limited parking supply in Northwest Portland. Transit, biking, walking are also low carbon alternatives to driving, and by encouraging them, we can make progress towards Portland's climate goals. Second, in line with our Bureau's strategic plan commitment, we want to really emphasize transportation justice. And to do that, we've chosen projects that will directly benefit the Portlanders who live in the hundreds of units of affordable housing in both Northwest Portland and the Pearl. Finally, the plan is an example of the prudent use of public dollars. The vast majority of the funding for these projects, parking meter and permit revenue and transportation system development charges, have been generated within the neighborhood. We're reinvesting the money raised in the neighborhood back in the neighborhood. And just as importantly, this also means that these projects will not compete for funding that can be used to support safety and mobility projects in other high need areas of the city, including East Portland. Thanks again for the opportunity to share our vision for Northwest Portland. We look forward to your reactions and input. And as the commissioner said, Zeph Wagner, the project manager from PBOT, is here to provide a full briefing about the plan. So Zeph, take it away.
All right, thank you, Director Warner. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for those excellent introductions. You've given a really broad, really great overview of the plan. And so I'm happy to share more details about the plan and the planning process that led to it. So I'm Zeph Wagner, I'm a PBOT transportation planner and also the project manager for this effort. I'm also joined by Mauricio Leclerc, the supervising planner, who is also really involved in this planning effort. And he'll be on hand to chime in as needed, help answer questions, things like that. So I'm going to share my screen and hope that the technology works. You see that? All right, so... Yep, so this is the Northwest in Motion plan, as we said. As Chris mentioned in the introduction, this is really about walking, biking, and riding transit in the Northwest District. The Northwest District neighborhood, sort of north of Burnside, west of I-405, the area that a lot of people call the Alphabet District or Knob Hill has different names. So it's really about providing more transportation options beyond just driving for all those reasons mentioned, for equity, for climate, to reduce pressure on the transportation system. And really importantly, this is about projects that can be quickly implemented. So rather than a long-range 20-year plan, this is a five-year, pretty much a five-year implementation strategy focused on lower cost and more near-term improvements. So basically a rundown of what's in Northwest in Motion. It recommends 10 tier one projects. So these are the primary projects that we're looking at for the next 5 years and the ones that we've developed to the highest level. And these include 5 neighborhood greenways and 5 corridor improvement projects, which I'll get into later. We've also identified some tier two projects, which are still priorities, but a little lower priority and maybe fall outside that 5-year window. We have some program recommendations, which I'll talk about later. We provide policy guidance for future parking revenue, which is really important. We have a parking management district that we need to reinvest some of that funding back in the district, and this provides guidance for that. And we also have recommended TSP updates for some of the classifications to make them consistent with this idea of these projects. One thing I want to be clear about is this is a resolution, not an ordinance. So this will not be updating the transportation system plan immediately. This is providing direction to PBOT to incorporate these recommendations into the next TSP update, which is probably a couple years from now. So no development standards or anything will change with this action. I want to situate this in the larger planning, a series of area plans that PBOT has undertaken recently. So many of you may know, back in 2012, we did East Portland in Motion, which was a really important plan following up on the East Portland Action Plan. And this covered all of East Portland and really focused on providing a basic active transportation network in an area that really had not received much investment before then. We've also done area plans for Cully, for Central City, and for Southwest. We've started using this In Motion name to talk about these five-year implementation plans for active transportation and transit. We also have some upcoming, so we wanted to let you know that we have some plans coming up for North Portland, Park Rose, and the lower southeast area, including Brentwood, Darlington. And this slide gives you a scale, a sense of scale between these plans. So I want to be really clear that something like East Portland in Motion has actually generated about $275 million of investment over the years since East Portland in Motion for projects that were identified in that plan. So it's been really successful, and this gives an indication of the level of need out there for basic infrastructure. A lot of very expensive projects that were really badly needed. Central City and Southwest, similarly, we felt like required a high level of investment. Not quite as high, but pretty high, because Southwest lacks basic infrastructure, and Central City just needs a lot of investment to provide a basic backbone of a network for people to walk and bike and take transit. In contrast, Northwest in Motion, the Tier 1 and Tier 2 projects added together are only $8 million. So we're recognizing that Northwest has a really good backbone right now. It has really good infrastructure. It has streets, sidewalks, curbs. What we think Northwest needs is a relatively modest investment that will pay really high dividends to come. To talk about the plan process, this has been about a 2.5-year planning process. So we've really worked with the community every step of the way. We've had a really great community advisory group that we met with throughout the group, and that included people from business associations, neighborhood associations, just residents and workers in the district, and people representing organizations like Oregon Walks and the Street Trust. So they helped us advise us. We also did a lot of walking and biking tours. We did tabling events. We did multiple open houses that got over 1,000 responses for one of our online open houses, and physical open houses with over 100 people at each one, which is really great to see. The level of interest in this was really high. We also did a couple affordable housing focus groups with Home Forward at a couple of their buildings that have that serve seniors and people with disabilities with very low incomes. That was really valuable to get their perspective. So some themes that emerged from here, I think, really revolve around, for walking, people really felt like the district used to be a lot more walkable than it is now, but that's been degraded over time as streets have gotten busier and busier, and so it's harder to cross streets. It's been harder to be seen. A lot of concerns about visibility and lighting. We heard loud and clear that people really want a good biking network, and there's a lot of people in Northwest who would love to bike, but they don't feel safe and comfortable doing so. And they want to be able to take advantage of biking and our new electric bike town, which has a high concentration of stations in Northwest, but they need safe and comfortable routes. And then for transit, people really felt like Northwest is blessed with a really good transit network. It has a high level of service, a lot of buses and streetcars moving through there every hour. But there's a lot of stops that are not accessible, where the bus can't pull over to the curb. That was a big concern. And then also the bus getting stuck in traffic and having a hard time making turns, things like that. So those were kind of the broad themes. As far as why Northwest, this kind of shows you the level of growth that Northwest has been experiencing. In the last 20 years, multifamily housing stock has grown by over 3,000 units. This map shows just the last 10 years, incredible growth in the Slabtown area especially, and also in the Pearl District nearby. And if you go to Northwest, you just see apartment buildings popping up all over the place. And what this has done is really put a lot of pressure on the limited roadway space, the small streets, the parking supply. And we expect about 3,000 more units in the next 15 years. So unless we change course, we're really worried about what will happen if too many of these people moving into these apartments continue to drive for most of their trips. There's simply not enough space to accommodate all those vehicles. Northwest is also a really major employment district. I think people think of Northwest as mainly a residential area, but according to Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are about twice as many people commuting into the Northwest district as are commuting out every day. So we need to keep that in mind. There's a lot of businesses here, not just retail, but a lot of manufacturing and just all kinds of businesses, services and different firms. So, and a lot of these people are commuting from relatively nearby neighborhoods. And so we want to give them the ability to choose these active transportation and transit modes as well. So this plan is really trying to work in lockstep with the Northwest Parking Management Plan, which was adopted by City Council in 2012. This was a really groundbreaking plan in terms of parking management, really trying to take a holistic look at how to manage parking and how to deal with the mismatch between supply and demand. A lot more people are trying to park in Northwest than there are available spaces. So we introduced meters, we introduced permits. We have a policy that 51% of the net meter revenue gets reinvested back into the Northwest District. We also have a $120 surcharge on the parking permits that also goes back into the district. And it's supposed to be, the revenue is supposed to be spent to support these goals listed here. So how does that work in practice? One of the things that the parking revenue is used for is to fund this transportation wallet, which has been a really amazing program. Basically, it subsidizes TriMet, streetcar, bike town, and scooter credits for people. So anyone can in Northwest can purchase one of these passes for $99, which is a really good deal because they get a lot higher value than that. And that subsidy comes from the parking revenue. There's also a golden transportation wallet, which is a little more recent, which gives people who live on low incomes and people who are willing to give up a parking permit, they can get this pass for free. And that's a really powerful incentive to that people will have to use these options. What we've been missing until now is the third piece of the puzzle, which is Northwest in Motion, which is investing in the infrastructure so that people can really make that choice. So we can give people, a TriMet credit, but if the bus is too slow, people might not feel like that's a good option. We can give people Bike Town credit, but if people don't feel safe or comfortable biking, they're not going to use that. So going forward with adoption of this plan, we would be investing some of the parking district funds into building out this infrastructure. And then as people choose these other modes, it in turn helps us manage parking by reducing demand for it. Another issue that we mentioned earlier was that the growth of the neighborhood has led to a lot of pressure on the roadway system. Streets in Northwest are really narrow, mostly just two-lane streets, and that's part of what makes it a great neighborhood, honestly. But the problem is with 44% of people, as you see here, driving alone, that puts a lot of pressure on the street system and adds to congestion. And we did an analysis and we found that 38% of auto trips are less than 3 miles long. And that's the length of trip that is easiest to convert to walking or biking or transit. And maybe with electric bikes, like our electric bike town, we might be able to extend that even further to 5 miles, 6 miles, because it really reduces the feeling of distance. And these walking in Northwest is very high compared to the city as a whole. So that's a great success story. And I think we just want to build on that success. But the bike mode share is a little low. 8% seems low for this kind of area. And to sort of demonstrate that, we can compare it to some of the inner Northeast and Southeast areas. And we find that those areas have about a 14% commute mode share for biking, compared to 8% for Northwest, even though Northwest is a little closer to downtown and to a lot of the employment destinations and education destinations. And we think this is really because in Inner Northeast and Southeast, we have a really robust, low-stress bike network. People can get to a lot more places. They have a lot more options. In Northwest, as we'll get into, there really isn't a functional bike network right now. And so it's not surprising that not very many people choose it. There's some strong and confident people who will always bike no matter the conditions, but that's not most people. So this is kind of showing how we want to try to encourage the use of these other modes. So our hope is that in the next 5 years, we can shift from about 44% drive alone trips to 30%. That would represent meeting our transportation system goals for 2035 by 2025 in Northwest. So we really want to accelerate that change, and you know, especially in terms of climate change, transportation is one of the biggest sources of climate emissions. And we know that a dense area like this, we really need to do a better job of encouraging these other modes. So this kind of shows how we think we might be able to grow walking and biking and transit. Remote work might go up a lot higher than this. This was produced pre-COVID. So there's also a lot of, you know, we have hope that working from home will also be a part of the puzzle. We took an equity lens through this planning process to really make sure that we were serving the people who most need these options and most need access to low-cost transportation. So what this is showing is that there's a central area of Northwest between about 18th and 23rd that has a much higher concentration of people of color and people of low incomes. And as we dug into this more to try to figure out why there's this sort of contrast between the middle of the neighborhood and the outsides of the neighborhood, we found that there's a very high concentration of affordable housing. So this shows all the Home Forward Section 8 housing and the Portland Housing Bureau regulated housing in the area. All of these buildings are, you know, 50 to 200 units, major affordable housing buildings. This is showing four of the Home Forward buildings, and these serve people with extremely low incomes, Section 8 housing, and they specifically, a lot of them cater to people, seniors and people with disabilities. And when we went to our focus groups, they really focused on the need for traffic calm streets. So they felt like their streets were being overrun with cut through traffic on their local streets, that it was really hard to cross streets, not enough lighting, not enough accessible ADA ramps. And that it was very hard to access transit. So we tried to focus our investments in this area as much as possible. We also kind of broke it out in some categories for this equity analysis. So we found that that same area in the middle of the neighborhood is about as diverse as the city as a whole. Whereas if you looked at all of Northwest, it would be less diverse than the city as a whole. So people's idea of Northwest may not be, you know, maybe based more on the area west of 23rd Avenue, where it is a little more affluent, more white, but there's this area in the middle of the neighborhood that really doesn't match that kind of stereotype. That area is lower income than the city as a whole, much higher renter households, and much higher car-free households. So even though if you go to Northwest, you see cars parked everywhere and you might think everybody has a permit, there's a very high percentage, you know, 38% of people in that central area, that equity focus area, don't own cars. And, you know, they may not be able to afford a car, or they may not want to have to pay for a car. And we want to provide them good options to get around. So with all that kind of background, let's get into what's actually in the plan. What do we recommend? As we heard our public outreach and we started putting together projects out of all the different needs we had heard about, we realized they fell into two main categories: the neighborhood greenways, which are low stress neighborhood streets, primarily for walking and biking, and then corridor improvement projects, which are the busier streets, and trying to make those a lot safer. This is a map of all the projects, the tier one and two, tier two projects. So we won't go into each and every one of these. There's a lot of detail in the plan for each project, but this really, it really covers the whole neighborhood. But I'll get into more of the tier one projects here in a moment. So to focus on neighborhood greenways, this is showing the tier one and tier two neighborhood greenways. We've also included on here the Flanders Bikeway, which hopefully you're looking forward to. We're building a new pedestrian and bicycle bridge over I-405. So that'll be a really amazing project, but we know that one bikeway can't serve an entire neighborhood. We really need a network of bikeways. And so what this is doing is it's adding neighborhood greenways east-west every few blocks. We have several north-south neighborhood greenways. And that really makes it so the bike network mimics the car network. When you're in a car, you can go pretty much anywhere. And we want people in bikes to also be able to go pretty much anywhere, get close to their destination. So that's kind of what we're focused on here. I also want to mention that even though Northwest District is the focus of our plan, we also have projects that extend into the Pearl District. And that's really important because we don't want I-405 to be a barrier. We want it to be permeable for people biking. And these east-west neighborhood greenways also connect to the north-south neighborhood greenways and bikeways that are in the Central City in Motion plan. So people in Northwest, once these two plans are built out, will be able to get downtown very easily in a low stress way. So what are neighborhood greenways? We get this question a lot. This is, it's not the same as a bike lane. These are low traffic streets, really local streets that are as local as possible. We try to make them very calm, low speed, low traffic volumes. And it's the kind of street where people can walk and jog and bike. I've noticed anecdotally that there's a lot of basketball hoops on neighborhood greenways. So kids feel comfortable playing in the street. And that's the kind of vibe we're looking for here. So they're designed to be comfortable for people of all ages and abilities. The two main tools that we use are speed bumps, which lower the speeds, and diverters, which lower the volumes of traffic. And these traffic diverters can come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Sometimes it's a full diverter. This is showing a semi-diverter, which is the most common form that we're proposing for Northwest. So this would essentially, traffic encountering this diverter, if you're in a car, you would have to turn. If you're in a bike, you could go through. But cars are still allowed in the other direction. And so this really preserves basic circulation and parking, things like that, but it produces a calm street for biking. Another really important thing here is that we feel like these are self-enforcing streets. The best thing to do for safety and equity is to just have a street that the design itself makes people follow the law. So it's when you have a speed bump that physically slows down traffic, when you have a diverter that physically reduces the traffic levels. So we think that's really a good thing about these kinds of streets. So one of the reasons why we focused on greenways for Northwest was this neighborhood greenway assessment report in 2015. This established actual guidelines for greenways for the first time. Prior to this, we just didn't have clear guidelines for greenways. People felt like they were underperforming, that they were bikeways in name only. So what this did was established slow speeds, 20 miles per hour or less, and the volume guidelines shown here. So 1,000 cars or less. Need a drink of water. So the neighborhood greenway assessment report said that the greenways in Northwest Portland have the worst volume profiles. None of the greenways were performing. So we technically had a network, but it wasn't working very well. This is showing the situation in 2019 in the peak hour on Johnson and 24th. So you can see long lines of traffic. This is all cut through traffic that really isn't appropriate for a local street and certainly not appropriate for a bikeway. So it's hard to imagine, you know, a family or anyone who is not a really confident cyclist navigating these long lines of cars. So one of the important things here was to establish a strategy for diverters in the neighborhood. So this can be really concerning to people. We think diverters are a very powerful tool in order to control volumes and make these low stress bikeways. But it can also be concerning to people who are used to driving the way that they've, you know, drive around the neighborhood. And so in the past, we've done neighborhood greenway projects one by one, and we develop a strategy project by project. And this gave us an opportunity to really come up with a cohesive strategy for the whole neighborhood that kind of makes sense, that really is focused, a data-driven approach that really solves the problem. And what we came up with this was this, that we would reinforce the edges of the neighborhood, which is where this cut-through traffic problem really is coming from. It's people going from neighborhood to neighborhood or trying to get onto these regional facilities around the edge of the neighborhood. And if we can solve the problem that way by concentrating diversion at the edge of the neighborhood, then we may never need to go to this step number two of putting diverters inside the neighborhood, which would impact local trips. So how that looks like in practice is, this is showing the busy streets in sort of the dark gray, the neighborhood greenways in green, and streets like Burnside and Highway 30 and I-405 and Vaughan and Cornell. These carry major regional traffic flows. And what we want is for people to use as much as possible the busy streets, the streets that are designed to have traffic, they have traffic signals, to get to and from these streets. So the phase one diversion strategy is essentially to concentrate our diverters where the greenways cross these sort of edges of the neighborhood so that we can guide traffic to the appropriate place. So on Johnson Street, for example, we would place diverters strategically to encourage traffic to go up to Lovejoy or down to Everett and Gleason, streets that are really designed to accommodate that traffic. And that way those streets will become low stress streets for biking, but will also just become better local streets and calmer neighborhood streets because they don't have all that cut through traffic. And our hope is, our analysis shows that we think this first wave of diverters will address the volume issues on day one, but we'll also monitor the situation, make sure they work, and we'll put these all in using temporary materials initially so that we can make modifications as needed. The end result of putting in these, just the tier one neighborhood greenways would be that all this shaded area would be within 500 feet of a neighborhood greenway. So people will really have expanded access, and this would meet our bike plan goals for the density of a bike network. And then once we add in the tier two projects, we would cover the entire district, would be within 500 feet of a low stress bikeway. So we also have another category, corridor improvements, which are really just as important as neighborhood greenways, are what do we do about the busy streets? So you can see the tier one and tier two projects here. These really focus on implementing the guidance that was developed in PEDPDX and the Roseland project, which really set the citywide policy framework for walking and for transit. And we tried to tailor that to this planning effort. So PEDPDX established new pedestrian crossing guidelines for how frequent they should be and the type of lighting and things like that. And so we're really trying to focus on filling those gaps and making this as walkable an area as possible, make sure those streets are safe. We also have a set of safer signalized intersections. So this can be things like leading pedestrian intervals, left turn traffic calming, just things that make the signals a lot safer, lighting, things like that. And we also have a number of Roseland transit improvements that we've incorporated into the plan. Because the streets are so narrow, a lot of these are not the painted bus lanes, but there are other things like modular, these transit platforms that we've started to install, the left turn signals to make the it easier for the bus to make a left turn, things like that. So this is just adding them all together. We're really focusing on that equity focus area, as we talked about. So 23rd, Everett and Gleason, and 18th, 19th sort of surround that area. And we really heard that people wanted it to be easier to get in and out of that central area. I guess I should add, some of these projects also include speed bumps on the busier streets, which we can't always do because of the Fire Bureau regulations, but there's some streets where we can put in the fire-friendly speed bumps. And so that's something that's really come up a lot in our outreach as a desire, is just slower speeds throughout the district. The last big thing we heard from the public about was the need to rebuild 23rd Avenue. This came up a huge amount. People are very frustrated with the deteriorating condition of 23rd Avenue. And it's estimated to be about a $10 million project to reconstruct it. So this doesn't really fall into Northwest in Motion exactly, because it's such a big major project and so much of it is about maintenance, even though it would have pedestrian benefits as well. So rather than calling it exactly a Northwest in Motion project, we are recommending in Northwest in Motion that this be added to our transportation system plan project list and prioritized for future funding if major maintenance funding can become available, because we couldn't ignore this. We've heard about it so much. It's such a concern in the neighborhood that we wanted to be able to address this. We did include in the plan sort of a vision for 23rd Avenue of what that could mean. So rebuilding the street really offers the opportunity to provide wider sidewalks, more street seating, maybe make permanent some of the COVID healthy business activity we've seen, where people are using the parking space for outdoor seating. So there is an opportunity for it to not just be a maintenance project, but to really enhance the main street in a fundamental way. So we also included some program recommendations. These are things that we heard from the public about a lot that didn't neatly fit into a specific project in a specific location. So these are some sort of categories that we're just saying parking revenue could also be used to invest in these sort of wherever they're needed throughout the district. So things like street lighting and main streets, clearing the corners, crosswalks, transit amenities, things like that. This slow streets idea would build on the neighborhood greenways by trying to really reinforce 20 miles per hour speed limit on all the local streets. So more speed bumps, more traffic calming throughout the areas. And I think, you know, the COVID crisis has really highlighted the need that was already there for slow neighborhood streets, as we've seen. And it's been a very popular program, and I think people are clamoring for sort of more of this district traffic calming approach. So these are just some other tools we can use through these program recommendations. So to recap again, this is kind of what we've talked about, what's in the plan and what it's recommending. We're trying to set this up as a very active program that's very flexible going into the future. We can be dynamic and respond to needs. So what we're asking for you as City Council is an endorsement of a broad strategy, a high level plan for the neighborhood. But then, you know, we're going to continue as a bureau and do annual outreach with the neighborhood, with stakeholders, as we roll out all these projects and programs. So to get a little bit into just the implementation, this is showing that the 10 tier one projects add up to about $5 million. And we think we're fairly confident that we will be able to fund this over the next 5 years using these revenue sources. So we have parking improvement revenue that has to be spent back in the district. We have transportation system development charges that have been allocated to the district. And there's been so much development in the area that it makes sense for some of that to go back in the area. We also have some Fixing Our Streets 2 money that the voters approved, which includes a little bit for Northwest in Motion. And this quick build program, which is small projects that are usually delivered by our maintenance crews. And so, as we mentioned earlier, this helps ensure that these investments are not competing with major funding sources that we can use for East Portland or other areas with really high needs. So this is sort of mostly a self-funded sort of plan. And then the last couple slides are about the implementation strategy. We're trying something a little newer to really focus on early implementation in the first 2 years. So rather than, you know, just doing one project and then another project, we're really going to try to do multiple projects each year to get a rapid rollout using low-cost materials. So on the left here, you can see an example of, we can do a lot with paint, with posts, with planters, these kind of temporary materials that we can put in rapidly over the first couple of years. And then we'll have a period of monitoring and refinement. So we'll do data collection. We'll see how the neighborhood greenways are working. We'll see how other streets are impacted. So if there's too much traffic on another local street, we can put in speed bumps or other improvements. If there's too much traffic on a busy street and that causes safety problems, we can do signal improvements or other things to mitigate those issues. And we would be doing extensive public outreach as we present our findings, report on our success or what's working, what's not, and adjust these interventions as needed. And then the later part of the program would be to invest more money in making these permanent. So you can see an example there on the right of making concrete islands and making these permanent and then maintaining over time and making sure that these are working well. Court improvements, essentially the same kind of pattern. We've started to do these paint and post curb extensions. A lot of them have been popping up recently in East Portland as part of the COVID response work, and there's some in Northwest already. So we think this is a good tool for shortening crossing distance in the near term. And then if it works well and we can get more funding in those later years, then we can upgrade them and make them permanent in the future. So that's basically it. That's the plan. There's a lot more detail in the plan itself. We're really excited to finally bring this to council.
Well, that's exciting. Great. Before we ask for public testimony, colleagues, any questions at this particular point? There's one thing that caught my attention there. You have what you described as modular bus stops. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. We had a photo of it.
Yeah, you did. And it intrigued me. And I'll tell you what my question was before I get to Commissioners Ryan and Hardesty. It looks like there's a relatively fast transition from the bus to the curb. Have we had any problems with interactions between bicycles and people exiting the bus? That looks slightly concerning to me. Am I wrong? Should I not be worried about that?
We haven't had any issues so far. We've had for quite some time things like this. So some of the streetcar platforms have bikes going behind them. We do have some concrete bus platforms now with bikes going behind. What we found is that as long as the bikes are up at sidewalk level and it's very visible, so that's why there's that checkerboard pattern where the bike lane is. There's also a signage for bikes saying to yield to pedestrians if they're crossing the bike lane.
And
so
could we double that up maybe with a verbal warning from the bus driver just as they pull up to those, just to say, hey, when you're getting out of the bus, watch for bikes mm-hmm. or something?
Yeah, we can talk to TriMet about that. I know we've worked really closely with TriMet on this project, and similarly on Division Transit project. That's going to have a similar design with the bikes going kind of through the platform area, and TriMet's been a close partner on that. So
yeah, it's only that that would be a fairly rare configuration. Is that correct? It wouldn't be like every stop. It looks to me that it's
no. We typically use this on the higher ridership stops, the ones that we think are kind of going to have the most people and where we need more space for people to get on and off the bus.
All right. This
also means the bus doesn't have to cross over the bike lane twice every time it stops.
Yeah,
that's
a good point.
It just gets to stop in the lane. It's much better for transit efficiency. And it just reduces that conflict between buses and bikes weaving across each other.
Okay. I just feel really badly if somebody got off the bus and then turned around and walked into a bicycle.
Yeah. We're definitely being careful and we're, you know, actively monitoring it. And if any issues come up, you know, we can make adjustments.
Yeah.
That's part of what's nice about these modular ones is we can test them out and see how they work before we make it permanent.
Okay.
We just installed these at Flanders and 18th and Flanders and 19th. If you ever want to take a look.
Yeah, I will take a look. And it's just,
yeah, you know, I think we've gotten really good feedback. Yeah.
It looks like a fly trap for easily distracted people, myself included. Thank you. Great presentation, Commissioner Ryan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zeph. That was a great presentation. And please know I like any data, and I know it's messy getting it, so this isn't a gotcha question about data. I just want to know your methodology when you say how many people consider themselves as a biker, a walker. How did you get that data?
The commute data?
Yeah.
This is all from the, let me find it. Make sure we're talking about the same thing. This is all from the American Community Survey census data. They survey people on their commute mode share. We're trying to do a better job in coming years of surveying people on all trips because we shouldn't just care about the commute. But right now, the data we have the most robust data on is for the home to work commute. So so this is from a couple years ago from the census data. This is only commuting to Northwest.
Right.
And that's much harder to get the data for. It's harder to, pick an area and say, what's the mode share of people going in? Because it's all home-based.
Yeah, and that's such a dynamic in Northwest Portland. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it gives you a hunch, but it's not, 100, you don't have complete clarity. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we never have as much data as we would like, but we're always trying to get better at it.
Yeah, as long as we keep improving it, then we're onto something, so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate this very thorough presentation as well. I'm curious about the temporary barriers that are being put up and with the anticipation that at some point in the future, we're going to figure out whether those barriers are in the right place when it comes to like where bus stops are and where pedestrians are traveling. I don't know if you want to go back to that slide or one of those slides that reflects that or not. But my question is really about what's going to tilt you one way or the other as far as is this the right separation? Is this the right mix? Or do we need to do something different? I asked that question because I woke up one day in East Portland and there was these white poles all over East Portland that I believe are supposed to also be a traffic calming device, and it looks temporary. So I'm just curious as to what does it look like when it's permanent, right? As compared to when you're just starting the process.
Yeah. So in this example of a diverter, this would be the initial installation would often be a planter like this. Hmm. This is something that is heavy enough that a regular person wouldn't be able to move it, but TBOT can move it if we need to. And we would be testing out whether this is the appropriate location, the right design. We might find that the diverter needs to actually be one block over to address the specific traffic pattern movements. Or maybe we find that this is having some specific impact to a specific driveway that we want to avoid. So that's the real advantage of these temporary materials is they can be adjusted as needed. And when we make it permanent, we would pour a concrete island so that it was permanent. It would have all the signage and everything. Maybe I'll go down to the curb extensions because that's a... So this example would be, we would essentially find intersections where we think we'd like to reduce crossing distance and tighten up the intersection. And do it first using painted lines and these flexible delineators, or maybe, we're always looking for more attractive sort of types of materials. But this would provide a lot of the benefit in the near term without having to do a lot of design or major construction. And it's really to provide the benefit earlier on. And then I think most of the time, if it works well, we would make it permanent with these curb extensions in concrete with all the ADA ramps and everything.
I can stop you for a second, Zeph, my question is really about those white poles. So is that a permanent thing or is that a temporary thing?
That's a temporary thing. So we would put these in to provide a temporary near-term benefit, but our intention would be to, within a year or two, build the curb extensions so that people have the permanent improvement. The problem is it takes about a year or two to design and construct a curb extension. I wish it didn't take so long, but you know, we have to follow really strict rules about the slopes and everything, and it just takes a long time. So by doing the white poles, it just provides some benefit in the meantime. And we can also test out things like a turning radius. So if we put in the white poles and a truck keeps knocking them down, that really tells us that they're not in the right place. And we need to move them, we need to adjust them, because we don't always know whether there's a major truck that's making a frequent turn or not. You know, unfortunately, we sometimes have to see if it works and then adjust accordingly. So,
One last question. I know you geek out over this stuff, but I have some very specific questions. my last question is really around when this is permanently upgraded. Will there be the flashing lights that have been very effective in East Portland at actually slowing down and stopping traffic when necessary? Or what other improvements will we see other than the curb cuts, which are important, as well as the separation? Yes. What's the end result look like?
It really depends on the location. So typically on a narrow two-lane road like this, we would not have to put in the flashing lights because when the crossing distance is really, really short, the engineering guidance that we have, which is really based on a lot of research around the country, shows that the flashing lights don't really offer benefit and not really worth the extra cost if the crossing distance is really short. In East Portland, a lot of the roads are much wider, and we really need those signals and beacons to provide a safe crossing. But in the context of Northwest, we wouldn't initially start there. Sometimes we might add them at a school crossing where we have more vulnerable users, people who might take longer to cross. So
there's also a lot of seniors living in Northwest as well. So I would hope that that would be at least something that's considered as you test it out, right? Because the goal now is to kind of test out these various improvements and see what comes next. So it's not just school kids, it's seniors, it's people with mobility issues. So I hope schools are not the deciding factor.
No, definitely. There's a lot of seniors in Northwest, and we really heard loud and clear that they really want improvements for walking and using mobility devices around the neighborhood. So we really get into that in the plan implementation. So what this plan is basically saying is where we should improve crossings. Each project will be assigned to a capital project manager and an engineer, and they're the ones who will do that kind of really specific assessment of whether in that particular location it really should have the flashing beacons or not.
Thank you, that's very helpful. Appreciate it.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Zeph. I just wanna say that I am a big fan of these temporary interventions. One of the things I did early on when I received the PBOT assignment was create a new protocol for how we respond to serious injury and fatalities on our roadways. And one of the things that we do is assess the location of the crash to see if there is a engineering fix. And as Zeph explained, those fixes can take a long time to execute. And we may not we may not have the immediate resources to do the permanent fix, but we immediately put up temporary interventions if we're able to. We're also using them in the Safe Streets program at a time where people really need to get outdoors to exercise and move around their communities and maintain safe distance. So just wanna put my plug in for that. Commissioner Hardesty, I'm glad to hear that you like those. I think you're talking about hawk crossings. Zeph, do I have that right? The flashing.
Oh, there's rapid flashing beacons and there's hawks. There's different kinds, yeah.
Because I've seen a couple in my old neighborhood and cars are used to moving so fast that they don't always heed to those signals. And I worry that pedestrians get a false sense of security. And that's one of the considerations that we make as we decide what intervention is most appropriate for what street or what intersection. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to my next comment, which is actually about the modular bus stops. Could we go back to that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I do share the mayor's concerns about conflict between pedestrians and cyclists. I think reminders from the bus driver sounds like a great idea. We're gonna need to do our own outreach and public education, because every time we lay down some new kind of infrastructure like this, there's bound to be confusion. Mm-hmm. But my real comment about this might throw you for a loop a little bit. I have episodic vertigo, and those black and white patterns, even just looking at that photograph, makes me feel a little sick to my stomach. And I did get a comment from one constituent who has similar issues, and it's people with balance issues, migraines, and epilepsy can actually have really adverse reactions to those tight black and white patterns. So I am wondering if we have any other color choices. Like, I understand black and white's high contrast, but so is yellow and black. Just want to put that out there as a concern, not a grave concern, but it's real for a certain percentage of the population.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I actually have the exact same thing. certain shirt patterns make me dizzy. You know, it's not that uncommon, and I share your concern. This is our first ever installation of these platforms. They're only made by one company in Spain, Zikla, and we're trying this out. And I think that's one of the first things that's come up from people. And this is the off-the-shelf model, so this is just the one that they already had produced. But they've told us that they can customize it to our needs. They're very willing to do different color combinations, different patterns.
So, yeah, I think it's really the combination of the color combo and the patterns together make it a little tough. So if the bars of black versus white were bigger, or if the white was just a different color, I think it would be better.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be a checkerboard pattern at all. Really the point of it is just to really clearly show the bike lane. So it might be good to just have it be green, because that's what we do for bike lanes. And the other reason is for people with visual disabilities to be able to perceive it, but there's lots of different ways to do that. So definitely hear you, and we have some other ones that we're planning to install in the next year or so. And so I'll pass that on, that we should really look at a different type of pattern.
Yeah, let's keep talking about that, because definitely in light of the fact that this is white cane, we just had a white cane proclamation. I realize I'm also concerned about people, visual impairment is one thing, but people who are blind will not have a warning. There's no, curb. So that's something to think about. And again, it may just be public education and bicyclists really having to heed the right of way to pedestrians who who have it. So thank you.
Yeah. It's great feedback. Yeah.
Commissioner Ryan.
Yeah, real quick, back to data, the equity matrix that you had up where you measured race and income. One is how do you get that? I assume it's from the census, perhaps. I don't know. And then, but what about disabilities, those who don't speak English? And then to earlier point from my colleagues, age as well.
So this PBOT equity matrix was established a few years ago by our equity coordinator. And it's the primary tool that we use. It's not the only tool, but it's the primary tool that we use. And it's a composite of race and income.
Yeah, I
and,
see that.
We definitely acknowledge that there are other factors that are important, but what we found is that if you include too many factors in an equity index, it tends to reduce the weight of race and income, which we really think are the most important. And it's also correlated with a lot of those other things. A lot of seniors are low income. A lot of people who have limited English proficiency are low income or people of color. And so that's why we really focus on those. But we also looked at it from that lens. The census data has really good data on race and income and really poor data on disabilities and things like that. So so as a proxy for that, we looked at these affordable housing buildings. And like I said, Home Forward really almost exclusively, you know, the criteria to live there is mostly you have to have a disability or be a senior and be very low income. So the three combine. Also, when I've asked them about languages, people of all different languages live in these buildings. There's one building that has a very high Russian speaking population. There's a lot of immigrants from various countries and refugees who settle in this area. And there's also a lot of sort of naturally affordable housing, small studio apartments in older buildings that are surprisingly affordable. For just a studio or a one bedroom. And so we've kind of gotten the impression that Northwest is a landing area for a lot of new Portlanders, including immigrants. So sometimes we have to arrive at these things by, you know, implicitly or by intuition, because we don't always have that data. But we do know that this area does have a lot of non-English speakers and seniors and people with disabilities. And we tried to incorporate that with a lot of those ADA improvements, lighting improvements, things like that.
Yeah, and I appreciate the factors and the weighted score. I just know that my experiences, including the other factors with maybe smaller percentages of weight, is still important. So the more that we can stretch on that, especially when it comes to transportation issues, which are weighted, I think, pretty heavily also to disabilities based on the dialogue we've been having. So,
yeah.
Great, thank you. Colleagues, any more questions before we turn it over to the public? Commissioner Uday.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, just one more thing on that particular topic is that I know that we've talked at PBOT before about the need to look more closely at areas around surrounding schools and hospitals and libraries, senior living facilities, places where we absolutely know people with disabilities either live, work, receive medical care. So I would hope that we have those issues in mind as well as we roll out these improvements.
Well, and that's where the focus groups really helped. I mean, I attended these focus groups. About half the people in the room had physical disabilities. And they were able to tell us, you know, exact locations where they had trouble catching the bus, where the ramp just isn't able to deploy efficiently or at all. They told us about corners that needed ADA ramps that didn't even have an old ramp, just a hard curb, things like that. So we incorporated those into the plan. There was even a lot of support for bike improvements, which might seem surprising, but, you know, some people use adaptive bikes. Some people in the affordable housing buildings really liked to use scooters or Bike Town. We have a Bike Town for All program for low-income people who can use Bike Town at a very low cost. And it was interesting to hear how much they cared about that. Even people who didn't bike were really concerned about people riding bikes and scooters on the sidewalks. And one thing that this plan will do is make the street more comfortable for biking and using a scooter by making it a low stress street. A lot of times people ride on the sidewalk because they don't feel safe on the street itself.
All right, very good. All right, with that, we'll turn it over to public testimony. Unless Commissioner Ryan, is your hand still raised? No, okay.
No, I just, yeah.
No worries. Keelan, do we have people signed up to testify?
We do. We have 20 people on the call who wish to testify.
All right, 2 minutes each, please. Name for the record.
First up is Reza Farhoudi.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Reza Farhoudi. I am the co-chair of the Planning and Transportation Committee for the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. The PDNA supports the goals and objectives of the Northwest in Motion Plan to expand local transportation options and urge you to adopt the plan as presented. The projects included in the plan will increase neighborhood access, safety, and livability for over 7,000 residents and nearly 14,000 employees in the neighborhood. There's a strong equity justification for these investments, as the projects will serve communities that have a higher than average regional concentration of historically disadvantaged populations. There are 1,400 regulated affordable housing units in the Pearl District alone, making it one of the densest in the region for affordable housing. Most of these developments are located in the North Pearl, where nearly two-thirds of the households consist of renters, and among those, nearly half of them do not have access to a vehicle. A full quarter of residents in this area also are elderly, and a third earn less than 200% of the poverty level, while another 14% have some kind of physical disability. Many of these residents either do not want to own and maintain a vehicle or are unable or cannot afford to do so. And so the projects in Northwest in Motion will help create safer conditions for people walking, bicycling, rolling, accessing transit, or using other micromobility options such as scooters or trikes to get around. Specifically, it will help improve pedestrian crossings at busy streets, create stronger and safer connections along our neighborhood greenways, and lay the groundwork for future bus service in the North Pearl to allow residents from the neighborhood and all over the city to connect to jobs, education, medical facilities, and other essential destinations without requiring the use of an automobile. Finally, the neighborhood appreciates PBOT's collaborative approach during this process, as staff worked with local stakeholders to iterate and improve upon the projects in order to serve the needs of local residents and businesses. They kept us well informed of any changes to the plan during its development. We look forward to working with the city to implement these projects as soon as possible to create a safer, cleaner, and more resilient neighborhood and city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Ian McKenzie.
Welcome, Ian.
Good afternoon. My name is Ian McKenzie. I'm a resident of Southeast Portland, but for the first 8 years of my life in America, I lived in Northwest, and it's part of the city that remains very close to my heart. For much of that time, I lived in a studio apartment at Northwest 16th and Burnside. While Northwest can have a reputation for being a fancy neighborhood, I, like many other people, lived there because it's where I could afford to live at the time. As this report notes, 75% of the residents of Northwest are renters, compared to 42% of the city as a whole. While I lived in Northwest, I experienced the good and bad parts of living there without a car. The good parts are that Northwest has a connected street grid and a nearly complete sidewalk network. The bad parts are that the side streets are often used as cut-through routes for cars that should be on the main streets. None of the neighborhood greenways in Northwest are meeting the standards that City Council adopted in 2015. I can distinctly remember times where I was stuck in traffic on the Northwest 24th Greenway neighborhood greenway on a bike. That shouldn't happen. The good news is that there's an opportunity in front of you to dramatically improve the rates at which people walk, bike, or take transit in Northwest, furthering the goals of our climate action plan. The even better news is that it won't cost that much money. Yesterday, City Council voted unanimously to move forward with Better NATO Forever, and I cannot thank you all enough for doing that. That's a project that came out of Central City in Motion, a planning exercise that was based on East Portland in Motion. Northwest in Motion follows in those footsteps in many ways, except one. The interventions needed in Northwest are relatively small. The cost of the 10 proposed Tier 1 projects add up to less than $5 million, barely more than yesterday's NATO Parkway project. It's an incredible payoff, and it's the kind of smart investment we need to make to reach our climate goals. Lastly, I want to acknowledge the hard work of staff that got us here today, and in particular, the work of Zeph Wagner. Being honest, there are areas where I wish the plan had been bolder, and staff are well aware of my views. They've been really responsive to my comments while also balancing the views of people who have a different perspective than I do. You may not hear unanimous support today, but I can guarantee you is that PBOT has worked really, really hard to listen to and respond to comments over the past few years. Thank you, and I urge you to vote aye.
Thank you, Ian.
Next up, we have Philip Sellinger.
Hi, Philip.
Good afternoon. Can I be heard?
Yeah, loud and clear.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and members of City Council. I am Phil Sellinger, a Northwest Thurman Street resident and former chair of the NWDA Transportation Committee, Northwest District Association, and the NWDA representative to the Northwest in Motion Community Advisory Group. However, my comments today are my own. The NWDA Transportation Committee has promoted many of the transportation strategies embodied in the Northwest in Motion plan. Northwest in Motion reflects also the hard work of the community advisory group on which I served. Meetings were productive and feedback well received. Plan revisions reflect the exchange of ideas with the NWDA Transportation Committee and the community. Seth Wagner's responses were prompt, thorough, and thoughtful. I fully support the plan and all component parts. A complete network of greenways is central to achieving the plan goals. Greenways need to be safe and attractive if they are to be well used by residents, employees, and visitors of all ages and abilities. Traffic diverters, as necessary, will discourage cut-through traffic and calm internal driving. Our small city blocks allow that no one will be greatly inconvenienced or put at risk by those diverters. The plan provides for adjustment based on new information, unintended consequences, and changing conditions, but it needs to be fully funded and implemented, not compromised or delayed. Successful trial installations need to be attractively integrated into the streetscape. The benefits of Northwest in Motion will increase as Northwest Portland continues to urbanize. Times are changing, climate change is real, and there is a great acceptance of alternative modes for getting around. The plan leverages the community's diversity of nearby destinations and proximity to the central city and regional transit.
That's 2 minutes.
To approve, fund, and implement Northwest in Motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip.
Next up, we have Matthew Schwartzberg.
Welcome, Matthew.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yep, you're good to go.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I just wanted to say thank you for hearing this proposal, and I wanted to thank the Bureau of Transportation for preparing and presenting it. I've lived in Northwest Portland for almost 50 years, and I've watched it get progressively more congested and dangerous in many ways on the streets. I remember when I first moved here, we played Frisbee on Northwest 24th. To do that today would be insane. One of the main reasons I moved here was because of the mixture of density and calmness and tranquility. It's no longer that way. I served on the committee for the Northwest Transportation Study, pardon me, and the current study plan echoes many of the things that we proposed, but which were not implemented. I strongly urge the council to accept this plan, and I definitely hope it does what we had hoped the earlier plan from 1982 strove to do. Thank you.
Thanks, Matthew.
Next up, we have Emily Gines.
Hello, my name is Emily Geis. I'm a member of BikeLoud PDX, and I'm speaking for myself here, and I mainly get around by biking and walking. I'm very happy to be here to be in support of the Northwest in Motion plan. It's the kind of holistic, ambitious transportation plan that we need to offer people more safe and comfortable options to get from A to B, as well as reduce our CO2 emissions to meet our climate goals. I'm excited to bike and walk on calmer streets after this plan is implemented. because currently it's pretty stressful to move around in Northwest. There's few safe bike routes now, so I don't spend much time or money there. But with new diverters and greenways, that will open up the neighborhood for me. I look forward to the successful implementation of this plan, changing Northwest for the better, and I urge the council to approve it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Chris Smith.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Chris Smith. I'm a member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, but I am testifying as an individual today. I moved to Northwest in 1991 when there were no bike lanes, and I want to tell the story of progress through one street in particular. In the mid-90s, I had the opportunity to work with Roger Geller, who's now the city's bikeway coordinator, to implement the first Northwest Bikeways plan. Roger and I both had much darker hair back then. And one of the streets that was controversial was Northwest 19th, which is part of a couplet with 18th. And we had the audacious idea to remove an automobile travel lane there, which was adopted by city council. And in fact, it has never really been an issue with the loss of the auto lane. Although in that decade, we had a stop going southbound at Northwest Hoyt because there was concern that carrying the lane through Everett and Gleason would cause problems with traffic bound for the freeway ramps. A few years later, we saw the addition of Sharrows in that stretch where we didn't have dedicated lanes. Sharrows were an experiment that turned out to be very successful for providing wayfinding, not so great for having cars and bikes share the same lane. A few years after that, we added a painted buffer to that bike lane to make it a little safer. And then in just this past year, I've had the experience of seeing that lane finally get carried from Hoyt all the way to Burnside, and in fact have some great crossing improvements at Burnside. Also just a block away, saw a diverter added at Everett and 20th, which I get to use on my way home from Fred Meyer on my bike. And just a few weeks ago, I got to see the floating bus island, the modular bus stop, dropped in. So I'm heartened by the continued progress, and I encourage you to adopt this plan to continue it. I do have a couple of comments on the modular bus stop. I would agree that the high visibility green that we use for bike lanes might be more appropriate. I would also say that some clear indication that there's a ramp there might be helpful to cyclists. I've heard of at least one cyclist who was surprised and took a spill because they weren't expecting
minutes.
The ramp. Please pass this. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Commissioner Daly, you have your hand up. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to thank Chris because from 1988 through 2006, I lived at the corner of 19th and Hoyt, and I've been a cyclist that entire time, and for many of those years, that was my primary mode of transportation. So, and also, thanks for the history lesson because I was not engaged in transportation advocacy back then.
Thank you, Commissioner. And Keelan, can you check the chat? There's somebody who wants to make sure they're signed up, and I don't, oh yeah, you got it. Okay, you're on it. All right, thank you. Next individual, please.
Next up, we have Ellen Vanderslice.
Welcome, Ellen.
Hello, good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Ellen Vanderslice, and I reside in Northwest Portland, where I've been bicycling, walking, taking transit, and mostly not driving since 1976. In the 80s and 90s, my husband and I reared two children here, and I'm happy to report that they both survived being shepherded through neighborhood streets as novice cyclists in the days when Portland was not a bit bicycle friendly. I was an early activist for traffic calming in the late 80s, and later as a project manager for the Portland Bureau of Transportation, I had the privilege of working on the original pedestrian master plan adopted in 1998, and then on the Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030 adopted in 2010. And before retiring, I was the project manager for East Portland in Motion, though to give credit where it's due, it was Steve Zigethy who came up with that brilliant name. Now, as an elder in pandemic isolation, I find that bicycling and walking are key not only to my transportation, but more than ever to my physical and mental health. In some critical places in the Northwest District, like 18th and 19th that have been mentioned, the addition of bike lanes has made riding easier and safer than it was 40 years ago. But it was no surprise to learn that in the 2015 Greenway Assessment, not one single neighborhood greenway in Northwest Portland meets the city's guideline for low-stress bikeways. I've seen the neighborhood grow, and I've seen the traffic grow and spill over onto what were once the quieter streets. I'd like to commend the project team and the Community Advisory Group for listening and responding to community concerns raised through the outreach process. Northwest in Motion's projects, programs, and policies before you today are well chosen to create safe, family-friendly spaces for active transportation, and I'm excited to see this work expressed on the street. Please vote yes to adopt the Northwest in Motion plan and its recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, and that's interesting historical perspective. Thanks for sharing that, we appreciate it.
Next up, we have Richard Shepherd.
Hey, Richard.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Excellent. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I am RJ Shepherd, or Richard, either way works. I'm a co-chair of Bike Lab PDX, but today I will be testifying as an individual. I want to thank PBOT staff, particularly Zeph Wagner, for the work on this plan, Northwest in Motion. NWIM really addresses problems across all different forms of mobility, emphasizes equity, and I really urge the council to pass it. Yesterday, I want to thank council for commemorating White Cane Safety Day. I think this plan really puts forward system-wide changes that will improve walking and rolling for Portlanders with low vision and low mobility. It includes the area-wide slow zone, which is super, super unique amongst American cities. And it will be continued to be monitored and traffic calmed, along with the additional curveball bouts, marked crossings. And I think one of the more innovative parts is pulling back actually the parking from the intersections and actually improving that visibility, as well as also creating space for scooters and shared e-bikes to be stationed out of the pedestrian rideway. I know that that has been a constant source of frustration for folks. I also really want to commend PBOT for this low cost and pilot first approach. I think that we've all been horrified at the fact that just a few weeks ago, you know, our air became toxic and ash was falling from the sky. With 40% of our carbon emissions coming from transportation, we need to take action on climate now rather than waiting years for concrete. I've lived in Northwest Portland. I think it's a phenomenal part of town. I often visit friends there, and unfortunately, I myself, as a white male, have been repeatedly harassed biking along neighborhood greenways there, and I regularly see people on scooters and bikes using the sidewalks instead of riding in the road, and I think that we really owe it to Northwest to be able to provide people of all ages and abilities to safely walk and roll around Northwest. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you pass NWIM. I think it'll be great.
Thank you very much.
Next up, we have Clint Culpepper.
Afternoon, Clint.
Hi, thank you, Council, for hearing from us today. My name is Clint Culpepper. I work at Portland State University as the Transportation Options Manager. I'm also a member of the city's Bicycle Advisory Committee. I want to extend a huge thank you to Zeph Wagner, PBOT staff, as well as Director Warner for the hard work that they've put into these projects. I urge you to approve these as they've been brought to you today. 15% of Portland State students live in Northwest and downtown and will have their travel improve greatly by this work. As you know, many college students are financially insecure, and any work that allows them to reduce their monthly costs has a huge positive impact. PSU students list the lack of safe infrastructure as the main reason that they choose not to commute by bicycle or on foot. And as housing units continue to be added to the district, the need for safe, low-stress streets will be increased further. The projects included in Northwest in Motion are critical if the City of Portland would like to make progress towards achieving the goals of the Central City 2035 plan, and are necessary if the Bureau of Transportation wants to help its numerous partners in the region, such as PSU, achieve their own climate plan goals. I look forward particularly to the Rose Lane improvements. Nothing makes me happier than to see safety improvements being coupled with transit improvements. Thank you to Commissioner Udaly for leading this larger effort. Members of the Bicycle Advisory Committee have continued to advise PBOT to include diverters on any neighborhood greenways by default. I have to stress that any bicycle infrastructure installed as part of Northwest in Motion absolutely needs to include diversion to dissuade automobile drivers from using the neighborhood greenways as cut-throughs. Any efforts to eliminate this cut-through traffic is necessary and appreciated. I hope that Council will move forward with these projects and take the opportunity to walk and ride them when they've been completed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Alexandra Zimmerman.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Alexandra Zimmerman, and I'm a resident of the Northwest District. I served on Northwest in Motion's Community Advisory Committee as a liaison from the Bicycle Advisory Committee, and I've also been a member of the Northwest District Association Transportation Committee for several years, but my comments today are my own. I've been involved with this plan for quite some time, and I'm gratified to see it here today in front of Council. I don't own a car, and so I depend on walking, biking, and transit to get around. These Northwest in Motion projects will greatly improve my lived experience here, as well as that of many other Portlanders. We know that our city, like many others, is in a climate crisis, as well as a Vision Zero crisis and a pandemic that has the potential to greatly impact our transportation choices. The effects of all these factors are already felt, and we can't afford to wait. These projects are critical to helping us meet our city goals, and they'll help people in Northwest of all ages and abilities to get where they need to go. The elements of Northwest in Motion are consistent not only with the city plans and policies, but with NWDA Transportation Committee's board-approved work plan that's guided input on projects in the neighborhood for over a decade. Northwest neighbors have always had a good working partnership with city staff, and our input on this plan, along with that of many residents and business owners and those involved in the advisory committee, has been heard and considered by PBOT. Community engagement took many different and creative forms over the past 2 years, and care was taken to include and highlight the unique mix of the households that make up our neighborhood, especially those in the equity focus area. I'm grateful for the hard work put in by staff, fellow advisory group members, and the many community members, advocates, and supporters of Northwest in Motion. Like many of my neighbors, I've gone through this plan line by line, and I think the end result has something in there for everyone. More than that, the spirit of the plan is one of people-centered infrastructure that connects the places that make Northwest unique. Right now, there are so many of us that miss that carefree feeling of strolling to the coffee shop with friends, using transit to run our errands, or biking with our kids to school. When the pandemic ends, we want to continue to do all these things and more safely and conveniently. Our neighborhood is resilient, but our families and our businesses are already greatly impacted by COVID and the recession. We need to do all we can to ensure that people can afford to live, work, and play here without the added cost of owning and driving a car. I'm inspired by what's been accomplished here in this planning effort and what we can do when we work together as a community. I encourage Council to adopt Northwest in Motion today. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Udaly, I just want to check and see if you've got your hand raised. Not yet. Very good. Next person, please, Keelan.
Pete Colt.
Hi there. Can you hear me, please?
Yeah, you sound great.
Great. So I'm reading a letter dated today by Siren Connolly, the president of the Northwest District Association Board of Directors. Oh, and I was at one time the chair of the Northwest District Association Parks Committee, and also at another time chair of the Public Safety and Livability Committee. So here's what the letter from the NWDA says. We ask that traffic calming measures, this is their recommended draft, we ask that traffic calming measures in the southeast area of the neighborhood around Northwest 18th, 19th, Davis, Everett, Gleason be better incorporated into the plan. The reason for that is this. When we talk about equity and we hear that Zeph talking about the perimeter of the neighborhood, that perimeter is where the lowest income people live. That perimeter is in fact where the people with the most people with disabilities live. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to, so what's happening is this, based on 10-year-old information from PBOT, the traffic right now currently on Northwest Flanders is 2,000 plus vehicles a day. ODOT's putting in a double lane exit off of the freeway at Gleason. Also, the Flanders Street Bridge is going to now divert that 2,000 plus vehicles a day to Northwest Davis to be the new primary portal. ODOT refuses to make Gleason the primary portal into the neighborhood. So with Davis as that portal, 2,000 plus cars a day will be entering in a very residential neighborhood right by a grammar school. And so what we're asking is this: for safer street crossings for children, mobility impaired, bike lane scooters, we have a plan. It's called the addendum that we have been talking with the Northwest District Association about. The addendum is called the Northwest 15th to 19th and West Burnside to Gleason Plan. It keeps ODOT and PBOT traffic volumes, but dilutes them to and from I-405 and dilutes the volumes into and out of the district by democratizing Everett and Gleason. There are two lanes eastbound, two lanes westbound on each of these two streets. If you make an eastbound and less westbound lane on each of these two streets, Everett and Gleason, you keep the same amount of traffic volume, but you've taken away the ability for people to drag race to the freeway and double lanes on Everett and drag race away from the freeway and two lanes on Gleason. This would enhance them. Pull the intersection back, like the intersection over on North Fremont and Vancouver. And Commissioner Udaly, I would really love to get to together with some of your people and have them walk around the neighborhood and see what else is in this plan. I think you might be very interested in it, especially having lived in the neighborhood. I think you'd appreciate the plan that we have for your old neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Next up, we have Dennis Harper.
Afternoon, Dennis. Dennis, are you there?
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound good.
Yeah, thank you. I live near Northwest Everett and 18th Avenue, so I am pretty familiar with the Southeast Quadrant, and I'm supportive of the traffic calming goals of Northwest in Motion, but I've noticed that the whole Southeast Quadrant is receiving very little benefit from it, virtually no traffic calming. I speak specifically of the one-way couplets 18th, 19th, Everett and Gleason, and in which there is a 20 mile an hour speed limit, but that's hardly ever followed. Lots of speeding going on, and it occurs to me that we're talking about equity, and this is an area of the equity zone of the Northwest Industrial Plan. That why would residents living on Flanders are going to experience lovely, quiet streets, but you have people living on 18th, 19th, Everett and Gleason receiving lots of noise, traffic. Think of it, Williams Plaza is a low-income housing, the Northwest Towers, I think 19th and Everett. So I feel that it's being left out, and it's a whole equity issue. Furthermore, I think that the solution for this should be to slow the traffic through measures such as stop signs at all the intersections on 18th, 19th, Everett and Gleason with side streets or speed bumps. So that would be my recommendation. Then regarding the floating islands for the bicycles, I myself have ridden over the ones on 18th and 19th at Flanders just to see what that experience is like. It's a little odd. But I've noticed when there's no bus there that bicyclists just speed by around it into the car lane rather than going up the ramp and over the platform. So that's something to be considered. It's sort of diverting many bicycles into the car lane. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Doug Klotz.
Hi. My name is Doug Klotz, Mayor and Commissioners. I support the Northwest in Motion proposal. I worked in the district for 13 years and commuted into the district by bus and walking. And during that time, I co-founded, along with Alan Vanderslice, Oregon Walks. And I was on the Pedestrian Advisory Committee for quite a few years. As Reza mentioned, this is the densest part of the city with 7,000 residents and 14,000 employees. And I think I wanted to commend ZEF and PBOT for their extensive study of the how diversity is apportioned in the district and how what areas are in most need of pedestrian and walking and biking improvements. The projects listed here will improve pedestrian crossings, create safer greenways, and make bus service work faster. I support all the diverters and corridor improvements, and I'm happy to join the previous speakers in supporting the entire project. Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Next up, we have Tammy Gesch.
Hey, Tammy.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Tammy Gesch, 2454 Northwest Westover Road. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. I am a member of the board of the Cambridge Condominium Owners Association, a complex of 70 units. Our owners are diverse, including all major U.S. ethnic groups and immigrants from East and South Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. Many of us chose this neighborhood because of its extreme walkability. I conduct many errands and outings on foot in the neighborhood. However, my husband and I also own cars for errands outside of the neighborhood and work outside. Transportation takes way too long, is not as reliable. Our climate is an issue. The idea that we, 63 and 77 years old, would ride bikes to work far away or for errands involving heavy loads or some medical procedures is absurd. Frankly, the same holds true for many residents. Much in this plan makes it difficult for the very residents to efficiently access and utilize the road system, requiring roundabout routes that burn more energy and will clog certain streets even more. Our HOA board approved a general policy regarding NWIM last April. Quote, barricades that block neighborhood traffic on Northwest 24th and on other streets in the Northwest District should be avoided unless and until all other options have been fully explored, including discussions with neighbors and organizations most directly affected. For example, on Northwest 24th, which the recommended plan indicates will have traffic diverters installed in phase one at both the north and south ends. We are asking that the effect of these blockages be assessed before installing another pair of diverters midway along the street, which were moved up from phase two in the public review draft to phase one in the recommended plan. We also support mitigating the collateral effect of traffic congestion caused by diverted traffic from neighborhood greenway streets to adjacent streets, creating safety problems for pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorists. Finally, the Northwest DA testimony in favor of NWIM refers to possible unintended consequences of implementation. Given that this neighborhood is possibly the densest in the city and that more interventions and changes are planned here than anywhere else, unintended consequences are virtually assured. I respect that expertise and time has gone into the NWIM, but there is no algorithm that can predict the cascade of effects that will occur as each step or phase is implemented. If you approve this plan, please do so with a rigorous emphasis on a phased approach and a very firm commitment to ongoing monitoring and adjustment, particularly of each and every diverter installation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Next up is Andy Katansky.
Hey all, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Andy Katansky. I'm a resident of Southwest Portland. Thank you for letting me speak today. I ride through this area frequently, and I'm super excited about all the corridor improvements. I support making streets safer here, even if it uses a lot of energy to do so, and urge you to adopt this plan as presented. It was really well done. Thank you. That's all.
Short to the point. Very clear. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Next up, we have Joselle Johnson.
Okay, let me get my mute going. Hi, my name is Joselle Johnson. I'm a resident of Northwest Portland since 1988, the dawn of time, and have been lived through many of the changes. Some of the concerns that I have on the Northwest in Motion plan are that it needs to really be staged so that we understand the effects of the diverters and the traffic changes. I support having the diverters at the edge of the district, but I'm concerned we need to understand the changes as we continue to add more diverters. I think this is very important given the concern with that changes in traffic putting onto other neighboring streets. And also, what are the changes based by the pandemic? Are we going to return to full volume? And if so, are we spending money inappropriately? Additionally, my specific concerns are the series of traffic changes between Northwest 18th and Northwest 15th on Johnson. We have a changes in traffic that goes from two-way to one-way westbound to two-way to one-way eastbound, of which the bikes have to cross across those streets as they make those changes. I think that's very dangerous and untested, as it's being the first place implemented in Portland, and I would like to have further review on that. Additionally, I also live on that southeast corner, and the change, the grid from Northwest 16th and 18th, 19th, and Burnside to Gleason, I do think that we need to slow the traffic down and really figure out how to accommodate a very busy road. That's gone from roads having originally two one-way traffic when I moved in. It then went to a bike lane and traffic. Now we have added additional work with a bus lane in there. So putting more traffic on those roads, I'm very concerned with what the volume will be, and I believe there needs to be some study on how to mitigate the speed and the activity there. So I think in summary, I support the focus. I support the fact that we are looking at this. I ask for a support in changing and making sure that we are doing changes with actual facts and being able to phase in approaches rather than implement without the phase. I'm also looking for support on that Southeast District to have more focus there, especially with the changes developed by the Flanders Crossing and the new 405 off-ramp. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Nolan Linehart.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and members of City Council. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important initiative. My name is Nolan Linehart, and I have been a resident in or very near the Northwest in Motion planning area for most of the last 15 years. I'm currently living in the Pearl District and would like to add my voice to the letter you received from the Pearl District Neighborhood Association supporting Northwest in Motion. Inner Northwest Portland is Portland's highest density residential neighborhood with a range of housing affordability and strong proximity to employment, education, and services. As a result, it is an area with above average walking, as Mr. Wagner mentioned in his briefing. The scale of Northwest in Motion is small, as Mr. Wagner noted, in terms of budget, but it does include thoughtful and targeted strategies to increase safety and accessibility, with an emphasis on serving communities identified in the PBOT equity matrix. The use of this equity matrix and the quality of engagement, analysis, and planning is a reflection of the transportation leadership and innovation that Portland is known for and that we should be proud of. Given the density and diversity of the Northwest in Motion planning area, I think the data that Mr. Wagner shared makes the case for a higher level of investment than the modest $8 million proposed, but I recognize there are significant needs throughout the city that must be balanced. I support Northwest in Motion, and I encourage you to vote to approve, fund, and implement it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Next up, we have David Dysart.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, thank you. David Dysart, resident of the Pearl District. I'm vice president of the PDNA and co-chair of the Planning and Transportation Committee, but I am speaking on my own behalf. My message is simple here. Central City 2035, the climate goals there make it very clear we are to dramatically reduce the use of single occupant vehicles in the central city. That is our plan. Portland makes good on our plans. That's what's distinguished us as a planning city and achieved our livabilities. If we're serious about climate change and we're serious about reducing auto use, we have to make it easier to do so. Most of the development in the central city since we've passed these plans has really not reflected that change. The private market really hasn't stepped up to achieve these climate goals the way we would like them. So we need to put our money where our mouth is. Well, guess what? Portland doesn't have a lot of money. You are the stewards of our budget. We have to use our money miserly and efficiently, and it makes the most sense to use those dollars where we have the most density. That's where you're going to get your bang for your buck. This is a very smart plan. You know, a lot of progressive cities are shutting streets down to auto use. This is a very modest plan, and it's about achieving a shared right of way. Right now, we're way out of balance. The autos dominate our right of ways. This is a modest plan. It's targeted, and it's a very efficient use of money. I urge you to vote yes on this and support it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Greg Tyson.
Hi, Greg.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Mayor and Commissioners, my name is Greg Tyson. I live in the Northwest District. And I just comment that, and I'm chair of the Northwest District Association Planning Committee and am testifying on my own behalf today. Northwest is a densely populated neighborhood that by travel mode is heavily pedestrian oriented. Yet it is also a regional shopping, dining, and employment district. And as such, it's dependent on all modes of travel to remain livable. Our greatest challenge in this context is through trips that just go through the neighborhood by car, especially be it on I-405 where air quality and capacity are severe problems, or Northwest Cornell Road where through trips affect the core of the neighborhood. Northwest in Motion rightly addresses the challenges posed by cut through traffic. It is my ongoing belief that Northwest in Motion should continue to focus on this issue. It should do so though via cautious implementation accompanied by thorough outreach that is specific to this neighborhood and those residents and travelers who are most affected by the projects being proposed. Thank you for this opportunity to testify on this subject, Northwest in Motion.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Next up, we have Steve Pinger.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Pinger. I'm a member of the Northwest District Association Board of Directors and the Planning Committee, and have been a daily bicycle commuter since returning to Northwest Portland in 1984. Remarkably, there has been a great deal of agreement in the NWDA regarding the idea of Northwest in Motion and its goals. But not surprisingly, there has been a lively disagreement about how and when the plan will be implemented. So I would like to read from the written testimony that has been submitted by the Northwest District Association, a portion of that testimony, which says, while the NWDA supports the goals of Northwest in Motion, some aspects of the plan require additional consideration prior to potential implementation. The implementation, monitoring, and phasing of the planned improvements must be paired with robust outreach and communication, along with the flexibility to adjust project details in response to feedback and observed results. The NWDA and the public must be given meaningful opportunity to provide feedback and to have Northwest in Motion projects adjusted with the benefit of lived experience. Specifically, while the NWDA supports the Northwest in Motion greenways, we question the need for and design and impact of the interior diverters. The NWDA asks that the Northwest in Motion reflect this concern by adding language to the plan to conduct a rigorous assessment with broad outreach before implementing the diverters and islands other than those shown at Westover, Vaughan, and 15th Avenue. This assessment needs to include updated traffic counts on these perimeter once these perimeter diverters are in place and clarification of the criteria for any additional diverters. So I just would want to amplify, I believe, what many other people have said here, that the opportunity to test and assess as we go along on this terrific opportunity to improve our neighborhood and the mobility of Portland as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate it.
Our last person today is from Bike Loud PDX.
Hi, I'm Daniel Amoni with Bike Loud PDX. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm reading on behalf of Bike Loud. As a grassroots bike advocacy organization, we are grateful to testify in support of the Northwest in Motion Transportation Plan. Today, if any of us biked or drove on a neighborhood greenway in Northwest Portland, we might not even realize the street had a different designation. There are very few markings and far too many vehicles to make these streets feel very different. Northwest in Motion is less about construction and more about better utilizing the assets we already have, our streets, to promote safe and comfortable rolling, walking, and transit use. Northwest Portland is a unique part of the city. In addition to high-end properties and wealth, it has nearly 2,300 regulated affordable housing units, which is one of the highest rates of affordable housing in our entire region. Its high density of homes and businesses situate Northwest Portland as a testing ground for climate action policy. The transportation investments presented today in Northwest in Motion are both district-wide and strategically placed. With a very small amount of funding and targeted locations, it gives residents more options to move around without a vehicle, thus saving them money, reducing greenhouse gases, and improving their own, as well as the public's health. And I'll just add to that, that I think the diversion is key to making people feel safe. At a time when the rest of the city is struggling to reduce transportation emissions and road deaths, the Northwest in Motion plan can actually make positive change quickly. We fully support the phased strategy of improvements using temporary materials. Additionally, we also support safety programs like district-wide traffic calming, intersection daylighting, and a no turn on red zone. We encourage you to pass Northwest in Motion to increase biking, walking, and transit use. This plan will serve as a template that hopefully other neighborhoods will refer to as an example of what they want to see where they live. Thank you.
Thank you. And Keelan, did I hear you correctly? That finishes public testimony?
Yes.
All right, good. Colleagues, any further questions? I know Commissioner Hardesty was excused due to another commitment. Commissioner Daly, anything else for the good of the order?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone who came to give testimony today, especially residents and workers and other people who enjoy Northwest Portland and who will be most impacted by this project. I'm wondering if there are staff here that might want to respond to some of the concerns raised by NWDA. But before I hand it off, I just want to remind the few people who testified today who are worried about the impact on cars that virtually our entire transportation system is designed around the car. We know that that is not sustainable. We have gross inequities in our transportation system, and it's simply not safe for many bicyclists and pedestrians to navigate our roadways. So I like to remind people that by making our streets safer for cyclists and pedestrians and transit users, that means there are less cars on the road and less competition for that roadway. So not only is it a more sustainable choice for people who are able to make it, it absolutely benefits the people whom still need to drive. And I count myself among those people. I have a son who uses a wheelchair, and currently our transit system is just not reliable enough and doesn't take us to enough of the places that we need to go in the time that we have to get there. And so I do drive a converted minivan that, you know, and that's a compromise I've had to make with my personal values around this issue. So I'm really, you know, pushing for a transportation system that serves all of us well and helps us meet our climate goals. So I'm going to turn it over, I think, to Mauricio to speak to NWDSA.
Yeah, Zeph and I can take a look at, first of all, the letter. We appreciate the letter, and we carefully read it, and we agree with what's said. We will take a very, as Zeph mentioned, and before the convention, you and the director, we will take a very careful look at how we implement this. We know that transportation in a dense area can create adverse effects, which is why we're taking this. Let's propose something, work it out with the community, put temporary materials, monitor, adjust if necessary, and then monitor again, are we meeting the goals, and then build something permanently. So we'll do that. And also, that I think that will respond to the concerns about some perhaps speeding in the southeast area. I think the spirit of the plan is to create a more human-centric district. So at this point, we will look at all areas, including the area that we just talked, we heard from, and we'll monitor for speeds and circulation changes as the area continues to evolve. On the other hand, the proposals that we have before you, segment diverters, have been tested throughout the city successfully. Change is difficult, but I think we're confident that once we put them in place, people will adjust, we'll learn, and we'll make them permanently, and we can make the area better overall. Those would be some introductory comments.
Yeah, I think what I hear from NWDA is more shared values than opposing values. It seems like there's a strong consensus that people want calmer streets. They don't want cut through traffic. You know, there's a shared vision for what people want this district to look like. Where there's differences are all about the implementation, the phasing, the level of intervention. And we're going to be very careful about how we do it. We've established very clear metrics. We are going to be measuring, collecting data, and we're going to be in constant communication with the neighborhood associations and other community organizations and residents to let them know how these are working or not working and what we propose for adjustments and get feedback. We wanted to be clear in the plan about the need and the goals and the outcomes, but how exactly it happens can be a dynamic thing that you know, we'll be moving forward with. So I think what we're hearing is an appropriate level of skepticism. Not everybody has had good experiences with government, and I think it's totally appropriate for them to hold our feet to the fire and tell us loud and clear that we need to be engaged with them, not just now, but going forward for years to come, and we commit ourselves to that.
Great. For the, and I'm sorry to push you off. We're running long, and I have 4 minutes, and we've already lost Commissioner Hardesty, and I see Commissioner Ryan shaking a little bit there.
Okay.
Why don't we do this? It sounds like you're willing to make the commitment on behalf of PBOT to continue to work with NWDA. It sounds like implementation is going to be an interactive process where you're going to continue to engage the community. That makes a lot of sense, and I'm appreciative of that. And from my perspective, that answers my question.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything more burning, colleagues, but I'd like to get to the main event here before we lose our quorum. I'm seeing shaking heads, yes, good. All right, Keelan, this is a resolution, call the roll.
You Daly. Like-
well, thanks again, everyone. It was really helpful for me to hear the feedback, both supportive and critical, and like Mauricio and Zeph have shared, this is going to be an ongoing process with the community. This plan will help us reach our climate action plan and transportation system plan goals to reduce drive alone mode share in favor of walking, biking, and public transit modes of travel. It helps us address our equity goals by prioritizing transportation improvements in the area of Northwest Portland with the highest concentrations of people of color and low-income households who are most impacted by traffic safety issues, insufficient lighting on city streets, accessibility needs, and high transportation costs. I want to thank the community advisory group who helped shape the plan over the course of their 2 years advising staff. And we have a number of staff at PBOT who contributed, and there's a lot of them, so I'm only going to read first names. Thank you to Zeph, Mauricio, Mike, Shane, Francesca, Corin, Andrew, Jake, Gina, Paul, Catherine, and Rayleigh. We couldn't have done this without all of you, and I'm very proud to vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. It's kind of fitting that you called that, because this brings me back to 2012 and 2013 when we first got the Northwest Parking District established, and thanks to Mayor Sam Adams for that and the work that was done to set the foundation. And then most of all, thank you to the community for working with Portland transportation to come up with a better plan, and then a better plan, and now a better plan. So in particular, the Northwest in Motion Community Advisory Group, the Northwest District Parking Advisory Committee, the Northwest District Association, and the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. All of these community members have put in a huge amount of time, as well as the PBOT people that Commissioner Udaly acknowledged. I also appreciate Lee San Kwan on my staff for really digging into all the issues, being responsive to community members who expressed concerns, which we looked into. And yet I think this is a reasonable plan that has a very good chance of being successful. Aye.
Ryan.
Yes, that was actually a really wonderful presentation, and the community testimony was terrific. It was great to reminisce. There was history lessons. I remember doing things like playing Frisbee on some of those streets as well, since I've been around a while. And you know, what I like to always say about this kind of work is it's about adult behavior change. And if we're going to keep moving forward for climate justice, that's what we're called to do. And so it's a shared sacrifice, but it's also wonderful to see people take more time to get to know their neighborhoods and walk and see each other, especially right now during COVID. We have to acknowledge one another, and walking through neighborhoods is one of our best ways to do that and not go completely insane during this period of time. So anyway, it was timely, and I love the carbon reduction goals that are hopefully being met. It'll be great to see the data on how, when we make these decisions and we see this adult behavior change, how we start to see that data shift, because the big goal here is fresh air, right? So anyway, and pedestrian safety, which was throughout your report. Aye.
Wheeler.
I love this. Thank you, Commissioner Daly, for bringing it forward. Thanks for all the work that PBOT has done on this, especially thanks to the community. These ideas generally percolate up from advocacy in the community, and then other people get involved, and then it becomes a movement, and then it comes to city council. And this really is, as Commissioner Fred said, layering upon years of previous work, both at City Hall and in the community. And it's great to see this iteration. This fits really nicely with the other planning work that's been done. The Rose Lanes, the Central City in Motion, some of the prior plans as well, the legacy plans. And as has been said, this is leadership with an eye to the future. We all know our city is going to become much more densely populated. It's going to be harder and harder for people to be able to maneuver single occupancy vehicles. As proof of that, I'd just point to any other large city in America where you start to see that forward-thinking cities plan more aggressively with transit, alternative transportation, making sure that bikeways and walkways are safe, that they comport with the local built environment. And anytime we can do something that supports all of these mobility goals, transit goals, climate goals, accessibility goals, equity goals, and it comports with the values of the community in a really positive way, this is something we should get behind and support. There will be glitches along the way, as I'm fond of saying, and I was really pleased to hear PBOT's commitment to continue to work with neighbors as this is implemented to iron out any wrinkles that can and will develop. And I hear your commitment to doing that. But this is an easy one for me to support. I'm really happy to vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you all for your fantastic work. And Keelan, that's our only item today. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, then we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.